We've been talking for several weeks now on the subject of faith, living by faith. And we're going to continue in our series this morning entitled Examples of Those Who Live by Faith. We had a series entitled Faith According to James. Remember, we learned there that there are three aspects of faith. There are three different ways that it shows itself. There's the belief aspect, the trust, and then the commitment. If it's genuine saving faith, you will see all three of those demonstrated. We believe, yes, for sure, but the devils also believe. The Bible says, and tremble. When we genuinely believe, we trust. We trust God to do exactly what He said He'd do. And when we believe in and we trust Him, we will commit ourselves to Him. And so that's what faith really, genuine faith, genuine saving faith, involves the three of those. We looked at several who've demonstrated a true, genuine saving faith, including Elijah, the widow from Zarephath, Obadiah, and last we looked at a man named Noah. Each of these we looked at demonstrated genuine faith in God. They stepped out as God led them and did things that were impossible for man to do on his own. Because as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. We saw where Elijah told the old King Ahab, the evil king, the most evil king, to go down. He told him that it was not going to rain. He said, it's not going to rain till I say so. Because God told him to tell King Ahab that. And we know that it didn't rain then for 3.5 years. Elijah had to believe God, had to trust God, and had to be committed to God to take that stand and to tell the old king that. Because that's not something that man can do on his own. We can't control the weather. Boy, some of us would like to sometimes, wouldn't we? You know, it gets dry and we need a rain, and if we had control over it, we'd just have rain when we wanted it. If we had control of it, I promise you, it wouldn't be nearly as hot out there right now as it is now. Can I get an amen? You know, it's miserable hot out there. I've told several people lately, I'm just glad that I'm not still in the workforce that has a job where I have to work outside all the time. Because I suffer a whole lot more than I used to. It probably has a lot to do with the fat that I'm toting around. But anyway, it's hot. But we don't have that power and ability to control the weather. But God gave that to Elijah and told him, you tell the old king that it's not going to rain until you say so. And Elijah believed, trusted, and was committed to God, and he told King Ahab, and it didn't rain. And then God told Elijah to go down to the brook Cherith, and he could drink water from the brook, and then God said, I'll send the ravens, the vultures, buzzards, to bring you food every day. And Elijah just believed God, and he went to the brook and stayed there. And when the brook dried up, God said, go to Zarephath, and you'll find a widow woman there, and she'll feed you. And so Elijah got up, and he went to Zarephath. When he got there, and the widow woman was out there getting ready to make a meal for the last meal for her son and herself, and they were going to eat that last little bit of meal they had, and then they were going to die of starvation. And Elijah said, you prepare a meal for me first, and then I promise you God will never let the meal run out and the oil run out. And the widow woman exercised faith in God. She believed. She trusted God. And she was committed to do what God had said to do. And so she did what she was told. And the meal never ran out. And neither did the oil. Then Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal and had them together sacrifice and try to call down fire from heaven. Of course, we know that the prophets of Baal couldn't do that. But then Elijah took a great step of faith when he, in front of all those people, and he got out there and he said, God, send fire from heaven. And God sent fire from heaven. See, in each of these instances, we see people that are doing things that don't look possible, that are actually don't look. They are not possible with man in and of themselves. But God is able, when we do what God calls us to do, tells us to do, God's able to do everything that He tells us He'll do. Lastly, we looked at a man named Noah. God told him to build an ark. He said, it's going to rain. It's going to flood. So I need you to build an ark. And then you're going to gather up all the animals, a pair of every animal, every species, all the birds and the snakes, and gather them into the ark. Well, it's never rained, so I'm sure that sounded a little bit ridiculous, but except for the fact that God said do it, and Noah didn't have a problem. So he set out to do it. Probably spent 100 years, possibly more than 100 years, building the ark and being laughed at and scorned and people calling him a fool and telling him he need to be in Chattahoochee or somewhere because you're out here building this big boat out here on dry land. What are you going to do with it? You know, you can't even, no way you can get this thing to the river. And if you could, you couldn't, it wouldn't float. You know, not enough water in the river for that big boat. And he warned them and warned them and warned them, and they ridiculed him and said he was a fool. But he had faith in God. He believed. And he did what God told him to do. And God did what he said he would do. And so we see over and over where people listen to God, they trust God, and God always does what He says He will do. This morning I want to look with you for a few minutes at four more who believed, who trusted and committed their lives to God's will. Many people, don't want to include young people in the church, in the affairs of the church. A lot of people say that, you know, they're to be seen and not heard, and, you know, all these things. We've heard plenty of that. But we've got several accounts in the Bible, in God's Word, where God used a young person to do a miracle. And we're going to look at some of those this morning, and some of those where young people took a stand, where young people had genuine saving faith and believed God, they trusted God and were committed to God's will for their lives. We'll be looking in account in Daniel. But I've heard these things over and over. Many times I've heard the statement made, you probably have heard the same one, you might have even said the thing, that the young people are the church of the future. You know, I've heard that so many times. Young people are church of the future. And I said, no, the young people church of today. If you don't reach the young people today, then all you're going to reach is some old folks that don't like young people. And then you got a dead church. So you might as well go ahead and start shoveling the dirt. But if you'll reach the young people, you can reach some mamas and daddies, and you can reach some grandparents that love those grandchildren that will come and be involved when those grandchildren are involved. So you get the young people involved and get them excited about what the Lord's doing, and then they will bring others in. We have a pretty good example of that this morning because one of our young people has brought a visitor with him this morning. That's not uncommon. We see that. Seems it happens more with our young people than it does with our adults a lot of times. This is why I'm so excited this morning to announce to you that we voted Wednesday night to move forward with building a large fellowship recreation building. We're beginning to look into those, getting some estimates, and actually we're going to move forward and build a building. Building large enough for a basketball court inside a building large enough to accommodate these young people that we're attracting on Friday evenings. Friday night we had 30 kids there in the fellowship hall. It was storming outside. No way we could get outside. And that building is not large enough for those 30 kids. The fact of the matter is we'd probably had a lot more kids if we had more room. And so this is a way that I feel that God's leading to be able to reach more young people, to get more young people involved. And we get the young people involved, then we're going to reach some more young adults. Then we're going to meet some more grandparents. And so I hope and pray that you'll get on board with that, that you will get excited about it as I am excited about that. And look forward to the day when we can have that facility, which will be a great facility not only for the church and reaching our young people here, but it'll be a great addition to the community and help out in the community, in the school, even, you know, for basketball practice and things like that. But it's just something that I really believe that God has called us to do. And a lot of people, you know, some are still not buying into it. Some think that it's just, you know, too much money and all that. Well, you know what? God's got all the money in the world. And if we're doing what God's called us to do, God will finance it. If it looks to be impossible to you, then that's great, you know, because it is impossible for man to do it on his own. But it's not impossible with God. And so if it's God's will, God's going to help us and he'll give us everything we need to do it. If, you know, as we see in these accounts that we've looked at, if people had looked at their own abilities, a lot of great miracles would have never, ever happened. And a lot of blessings would have been missed out on by the people that have been called upon of God to do these things. And so God can use young people. Will God use young people? Absolutely. And in the scriptures this morning, starting in Daniel 1, we're going to read about four young boys. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those names may not be quite as familiar to you as they would be if I said Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? Those were the names that they were given that were actually the names that were given from the false gods that the others were serving. But their names originally were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so we pick up in chapter 1 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and in verse 1. And we're going to read down a little ways and just begin to see what God's doing here. So then the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skilled in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, said to his head man Ashpenaz, who was the master of the eunuchs, he told Ashpenaz, he said, I want you to get some young people, some young men, young boys. I want you to gather them up. I want you to find some good-looking young boys that are smart and that have the ability to learn, and that we can teach the ways of the Chaldeans, and that we can take care of them and get them really healthy so they can serve in my palace, in the king's palace, so they could be his servants. And so he also said in verse 5, he said, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, he had plans of giving them the best of the best for food, and giving the king's wine so that they could be very healthy at the end of the 3 years, so that they could begin to serve the king. Now, among them were of the children of Israel, or children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So he changed their names according to his gods. That's the way they were named. And so they called him in. But there was a problem that arose. Daniel and Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael, they decided that they didn't want to partake of the king's meat and the wine because that was in violation to God's law for them. They did not want to violate what they had been taught. Now, here's an important little side message here. These young boys had obviously been brought up in a godly home. They had been taught what God's will was and what God's word was, God's law was. They had been taught that. How else would they have known that it was against God's law to partake of these things that the king was wanting to feed them and the wine that he wanted to give them to drink? And so they had been taught, they had godly parents, obviously, who had taught them the way they should live. The Bible says that we'll train them up the way they should go when they're old, they'll not depart from it. It's our problem, it's our responsibility as parents to raise our children in a godly fashion, to teach them the Word of God, to teach them how to live in a godly fashion, how to obey God and do God's will. And the only way we can really teach them that is if we're doing it ourselves. We've got to be practicing it ourselves. So we've got to practice living and not just make-believe, but we've got to actually be living the life that is pleasing to God, to be able to teach our children to do that. Well, these young men had obviously, these young boys had obviously been brought up in a home where God was the center in the home. They were taught what God's will was. They were taught God's word and His way. And so a challenge there for us as parents and even as grandparents to make sure that we do all that we can to teach our kids, to train them up to nurture and admonish the Lord. So because Daniel and these three boys had been taught, Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, they decided they're not going to defile themselves. They're not going to go against what they have been taught. They're not going against God's law and God's word, God's will for their life. And so they're going to stand firm and do what they're told to do. And so Daniel tells this Ashpenaz that, who has been put over them, and so he tells them. Now, God is always at work. He's always at work. He's ahead of us, okay? He's already going ahead of us. This building project we're talking about, He's way ahead of us on that. Their thing, I promise you, the things that have already been in preparation that we are not even, we don't even have a clue about yet. Well, God was at work ahead of Daniel and these three Hebrew boys, because He had already put Daniel in a good relationship with Ashpenaz. They had already developed a good relationship between the two. Now, Ashpenaz is the one that's in charge of all of them. He's the one that the king has is instructed to bring those boys in and to give them the king's meat and the king's wine, and to make sure that they are well cared for and for 3 years. And so when Daniel comes to Ashpenaz and he says, sir, I'm sorry, but we're not going to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, because that's in violation to what God's law says for us. So we can't do that. And so Ashpenaz says, man, you're going to put me in a bad place, because, you know, if y'all are not as healthy as the rest of them, then and the king finds out why, you know, because Daniel said, you know, just give us some peas and water, you know, pulse and water. And he said, you know, if you're not as healthy as the rest of them, the king's going to take my head off. And so Daniel said, try us for 10 days. Give us pulse and water for 10 days. And then bring us in and examine us and see how we're faring. You know, see if we're losing weight and not healthy and not looking good and all that. And so Ashpenaz, because of God's intervention, and he had already brought Ashpenaz and Daniel into favor, into a good relationship. And so Ashpenaz said, okay, we're going to try it for 10 days. See how you look. Well, at the 10 days, they look better than the others. And so, what did Ashpenaz do? He kept giving them the pulse and the water. So for 3 years, Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah ate peas and drank water. 3 years, while all the rest of the boys were eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine, you know, they were eating high on the hog. These four were eating peas, drinking water. At the end of the 3 years, guess what happened? The Bible says that they were healthier and better, fairer than any. First of all, at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And so Melzar, I'm sorry, not Azariah. Melzar was the one that was over them at that time. Took away the portion of their meat and the wine, and they gave them pulse to drink, eat, and water to drink. Verse 17 says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. In the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before King Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And so, you see what happens when we exercise that faith, when we do what God calls us to do, and we take a stand, and we're committed to Him, we refuse to fall down to Satan's trickery. And that's exactly what was going on here. You know, what an opportunity. We got young boys here. You know, what an opportunity. Yeah, we're going to eat. Probably some of them had never thought about eating some of the... Well, they didn't eat that because... one thing is because it was against God's law for them to eat the things that the king was eating. But, you know, they had been raised on, like I was, peas and beans, you know. But here's an opportunity, you know. An opportunity to... We can eat the king's meat, and we can drink the king's wine. What an opportunity, you know. How many young boys, young teenagers, wouldn't take that opportunity, you know? But these boys were committed to God. They believed that God was who He said He was, and they trusted God to do what He said He would do. And God has promised us over and over and over and over that He'll take care of us. We'll just trust Him. We'll just trust Him. And these boys trusted God. They put their faith in Him. They actually staked their life on Him, on their belief and their faith in Him. And they refused to deny Him in any way. And God blessed them. He gave them more wisdom. He made them wiser than all of the others. He made them more healthy than all the others. Who's in control of our health? God, ultimately, you know. I mean, we can interfere with that by the things that we eat, but God ultimately is in control of our health and our ability to stay healthy. And at the end of that 3 years, we see that they were... Bible says 10 times healthier. That's significant. Okay. Well, God wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. So we need to allow God's will to be done in our life. And so, we see that, the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he dreamed a dream. And so he called in all of the astrologers and the magicians and all these supposedly wise men. He called them in and he said, I've had a dream and I need you to tell me what the dream was and tell me what it means. And they said, well, tell us what your dream was and we will tell you what the interpretation is. He said, no. I know if I tell you that I dreamed a certain dream, then you'll come up with an interpretation. But I don't know what the dream was. And I want to know what it was and what the interpretation was. And they said, King, that's crazy. They ain't, no man can tell you that. If you don't tell us what the dream was, there's no way. It is impossible for any man to tell you the interpretation of the dream. Was the king lying? No, he wasn't lying. He was telling the absolute truth. Because that's one of those things that, just like Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so they said, there's no way, no man can tell you what your dream was and interpret it. And so the king got upset and he said, well, you know, just kill them all. You know, all these magicians and astrologers and wise men and all, just kill them all. And so they were set out to gather them up and do that. And Daniel found out about it. And Daniel said, whoa, hold on, let me talk to the king. And so Daniel went and talked to the king. And he said, and if you'll give me just a little bit of time, God will tell you what the dream is and the interpretation thereof. And so he went into the king. He talked to him about that. And then he went back and he told Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. He said, we need some prayer. We got to pray. We need to ask God to give me the interpretation, to give me the dream and give me the interpretation of the dream. And so they prayed. And God gave Daniel, told him what the dream was and gave him the interpretation of it. And so Daniel went back and told the king, here's what your dream was. And here's what it means. Here's the interpretation of the dream. And he said, not me. You know, this is not from me. This is God did this, not me. You know, Daniel didn't take credit for it. So many times we want to take credit for things that we're really not able to take credit for, because it's not us, it's God that does it through us. And so Daniel explained to him, it's not me, but God gave the dream and the interpretation. And so the king promoted Daniel over all his affairs. And so Daniel said, ask him to also promote Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to put them over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And so the king agreed. And so then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he makes this image, a golden image. It's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And then he, after they got it all made, this great big golden image, and he called for a great celebration, an open house for the new golden image. Called for everybody to come. Okay. And he said, when you hear the music, when the music starts playing, then everybody needs to bow down and worship this golden image. What do you think Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought about that? I think there's one of the Ten Commandments that says something about that, isn't it? That we should not serve any other gods. Okay, and so Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not worshiping a golden image. But everybody came and they all fell down and worshiped. But these four weren't there. And so afterwards, a lot of those others that were jealous anyway, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been put over them, and they were jealous and they were hunting away to get rid of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you serve the Lord, the devil don't like it. Whether you're young or whether you're old, the devil will do everything he can to cause you problems. He'll try to cause you to stumble. He'll try to cause you to fall. He'll try to get rid of you because You're in his way, and he don't like it. Well, he didn't like it because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were committed to God, and they refused to bow down. And so all these other guys came to the king and said, "Hey, there's three guys back there that you've appointed over all of us, and they refused to bow down." And so he said, "Bring them in." They brought them in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came in, and the king told them. He said, "We're going to give you a second chance, you know." Because he liked them, and he said, "I'm going to give you a second chance. But when you hear the music again, you need to bow down and worship the golden image." And so they didn't wait for the music to play. They said, "King, we respect you. We're not going to bow down to you, golden image. You know, we serve a God that we worship. The God of gods. The God of the universe. The God that created this universe. We serve God. And we're not going to bow down to your golden image. Now the God we serve is able to protect us." Well, the king said, "Well, I'll throw you in the fire first." They said, "Okay." He said, "You know, the God that we serve is able to protect us even in the fiery furnace. You're going to go through some fiery furnaces if you're faithful to God. There are going to be some tough times. I can tell you from experience, there's some really tough times. The devil works through a lot of people in a lot of different ways to try his best to cause you to fall. These three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were committed enough to God. They believed God. They trusted God. They were committed to God. They knew that God would do what he said he would do. And they said, "Oh, King, we're not going to bow down to your golden image. You can throw us in the fire furnace. The God that we serve is able to protect us even in the fiery furnace. But if he don't, be it known, we're not going to bow down to your golden image. We're not going to give up our faith. We're not going to violate our faith. We're going to be faithful to the God that we serve. So do what you need to do. You know, don't worry about us." I experienced a situation one time talking about trials, and I had a family in the church, you know, serving it one time before, and they got crossed up with me because they wanted to put a man's name on the front of a building that we built that they had donated some money to, but the money was donated anonymously. So that no one was to know where the money came from. That's the way we accepted the donation. It was as an anonymous donation. But after the building was built, then they wanted to put name up on the front of the building. Said, "Well, we can't do that, you know. I mean, we can put Jesus Christ up on the front of the building. We're not putting some man's name up there." "Well, everybody knows where the money came from." I said, no, that's not the deal. Everybody don't know to start with, but the money was accepted as an anonymous donation, and it was never told who gave, except some of the family later on was, you know, trying to get, build their ego up and told a lot of people where the money came from. And I said, so they didn't like that. And so, they started trying to get rid of me as a pastor. You know, how you get rid of the pastor? Cut the salary out, you know. Cut the salary. So they started a little campaign to cut salary, pastor salary off. And I sat down and met with them, and I just told them, I said, "Hey, I'm not here because of the money. You know, I'm here because God called me here. I don't care about the salary, you know. God didn't tell me that to come here because y'all going to take care of me. God called me here to pastor this church, and He said, I'll take care of you. And I really don't care if, you know, I can go to the gas station and the attendant calls out and says, fill it up, preacher, it's already taken care of. I can go to the grocery store and they say, get what you need, it's already paid for. I said, I don't care. I don't care how He does it. He didn't tell me exactly how He was going to do it. He just said He's going to take care of me. And He says the same thing for every one of us. If we will do what He calls us to do, He will always provide for the need. When the need comes up, may not be early, it may not be piled up there waiting on you, but when the need comes, it'll always be met if you're living for Him and doing for what He called you to do. And so, these three Hebrew children had that same belief, you know. I'm not worried, you know. Throw us in the fire if you want to, but we're going to live until we die. And if it's God's timing for us to go, if He wants to call us on home, then that's fine. It'll be a whole lot better anyway. But if it's not our time, then ain't nothing going to happen to us. Because God's going to protect us. Guess what? It wasn't their time. God protected them. He threw them in the furnace. He called His strongest men to come to throw them in the fire. But before that, He had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. Because He really wanted to cook them. He done got mad now. And so He called His strongest men to come to throw them in that fire furnace. It was so hot that the people that threw Him in perished. It killed them because of the heat. But what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Old King Nebuchadnezzar came by the next day and he looked and he said, hey, didn't we throw 3 men in that fire? I said, yes, sir. Well, there's 4 down there and they're walking around. They don't look like they're hurting. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. You see what happens when you exercise faith in God. God will bless it. God will protect you. Don't mean you won't ever go through the fire, but He'll protect you in the fire. Okay. He protected those boys and brought them out of the fire. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Their hair was not singed, according to the Bible. Is that possible with man? No, but with God, all things are possible. Is God calling you to do something that really don't seem like something that you can do? Remember, with men, this is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. When God called me to preach, I said, Lord, speaking of impossibilities, you know, that's not possible. I can't preach. There ain't no way. Thought He'd call the wrong person. Some of you still think that. But He knew what He was doing. He don't call the equipped, but He equips the called. God may be calling you to do something and you say, I can't do that. But if God's calling you to do it, He wants to equip you to do it. He'll help you. He'll give you everything you need to do it. You just got to say, here my Lord, here my. Send me, use me in whatever way you see fit. There are a lot of opportunities, a lot of needs right now for people of faith to step out in faith and to do the things that God's calling us to do. a lot of opportunities, a lot of needs. God's called a lot of people. A lot of people not responding. A lot of people going to suffer. Miss out on a lot of blessings because they've not responded to do what God's called them to do. You may be one of those. If you are, think about that and pray about it. You really believe God will do what He said He'd do? I can tell you He will. He will. Believe Him, trust Him, and commit yourself to Him. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for another opportunity to come, to look into Your Word, to see, Lord, how You have proven Yourself over and over and over again. How could we not believe except that the God of this world, old Satan, has us blinded so many times. And there are so many people that are still blinded to the reality of who You are. They're blinded to the realities of Your power, Your abilities. God, I pray that You'd help us just take that step. Take that step of faith and allow You to show Yourself in a mighty way. Lord, the people need to make decisions right here this morning. I pray that You'd just speak to their hearts. Lord, cause them not to hold back. Lord, to take that step of faith, to move out and do what You've called them to do. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Stand with me for a moment. God's spoken to your heart. There's something you need to do. Don't keep holding on. Move out and do it. Take that step of faith. Believe God. Believe God will do exactly what He said He'd do. He's still God. He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anyone, if God's dealing with your heart, don't wait. Do it. Never trusted Jesus to be your Savior? That'll be the best day in the world for you to do that. Anyone, quickly.